The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all from Bar Canada, the D, lovely downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yo, yo.
Still to come this hour, Mike Somich, College Hoops, from The Handle, which he co-hosts with someone named Matt Brown.
Kelly. That's right.
Do that later. Some more Masters thoughts coming up as well. And Dr. Bob standing by. We get tweets at Beating the Book, though. Best listeners in the game. Bainbridge DeWeese, talking about Paul Sporer's spot. Why would moving the mound back reduce velocity? I did notice that Paul threw that in there. I'm like, I care to explain.
Well, it's further back.
Yeah, but why would that reduce velocity? It would reduce velocity once it got to the batter, but that doesn't reduce velocity in the arm.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. We were just talking about arm injuries there. Yeah, you're right. So what would change?
Chris Hartman. Gil, perhaps Strider learning a curveball over the winter led to his elbow giving out, not because he wasn't given an extra 4 seconds between pitches. Mr. Postman 619. I'm old enough to have seen Tommy John pitch in person and remember what a big deal it was after he came back from the surgery. I seem to remember that as well. Mike Alvarez. Rick Reuschel had tremendous thighs and was never hurt. Buddhist man, there's nothing I hate more than leaving the office at the end of my workday in the dark during the winter months. Why would I celebrate this during my lunch break? That's an excellent point as well.
See?
See? James Sott. Oh, this is a great one. I didn't even consider this. We are super excited here in Cleveland for the eclipse. It starts here at 2 to full eclipse at 3:14 Central. Side note, leave it to the Guardians to have their home opener at 5 p.m. Two is shaking my head. Eclipse just popped up, I'm sure, MLB scheduling. It's a little jumbled with the words, but what he's saying is, so, by the way, for those of us who have the Cleveland Guardians bet, so I have Cleveland Guardians, most wins March and April.
Right.
Right now, they're like in fourth place. They're one win behind the top three teams. Pirates, Yankees, Dodgers all have 8 wins. Dodgers have 4 losses, though. And Cleveland has 7-2. But yesterday they had a rainout in Minnesota, and that's not getting made up till August. So we lose that opportunity to get a win, which is bad.
Yeah, that's
right.
Brutal.
But part of the calculus and part of the handicap when I was talking about this when I first made the bet was, okay, but they don't get a home game in Cleveland till April 8th, which is I'm trying to avoid as much inclement weather. Cleveland very capable of having inclement weather this time of year as possible. So April 8th begins the day. So no inclement weather. It's beautiful day to day in Cleveland. But apparently there's a solar eclipse they didn't factor in. So what happens? They're going to stop the game in the middle? Like what's...
So you know how like you can lose a ball in the sun, right? You know, like what happens with that today? You know, like I thought you were supposed to look at the eclipse.
David Shalafour, new podcast for Kelly Bidlin. It's called Eclipse Shots.
Yeah, we're doing that right now, apparently.
And Rick Ollier. Hey guys, I've been staring at the sun for the last 25 minutes. When is this eclipse supposed to happen?
Keep staring. You'll see something
eventually.
I'll
get there eventually. Just keep looking up. I'm told nothing can happen. That's bad. Dr. Bob joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. His name is Bob Stoll, not actually a physician, but a doctor nonetheless. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. He has 2 kids, and we broached this subject right before you came on air. They're very excited for the solar eclipse today, right?
Yeah. Kathy's like, am I going to see it? I'm like, I assume your teachers will take you outside. And they did that when I was in school back when. So I assume so.
You sound like a very...
But if they don't, then I'm going to hear about it when she gets home.
Sound like you're very engaged on the subject, Bob, with your daughter. That's to tell her not to look straight at it and not to look unless they give her the glasses.
Yeah, I said they make sure you have glasses.
That's right. Okay. You came on Friday and you talked, you didn't have much of a thought on Purdue, NC State, but you did on Alabama, UConn, and your numbers back UConn against the spread. And then I asked the question, I was like, but if I come to you from the future and I say one of these underdogs, either NC State or Alabama, won it outright, you agreed that Alabama had the makeup to do that. And I kind of think it played out exactly that way, didn't it?
I said, if they shoot 40 threes and make half of them,
yeah,
then they've got a chance. And they shot 48% threes. I'm like, I'm watching this game. I've got, you know, UConn minus, you know, double digits. I'm like, it's close. I'm like, they're shooting 65% threes. Like, when is this going to stop? I mean, if they just shoot 40% threes the rest of the game, UConn's going to win by double digits. It's just a matter of time. But they just kept making them and making them. I'm like pulling my hair out going, you got to be kidding me. And UConn should have been up by 15, and they were only up by 4 or 5 at one point. But eventually it worked out. They only shot 48%, and they needed to shoot 51% to cover the spread. So
yeah,
it worked out for me.
Yeah, and I made the comment about 85 Villanova. I'm like, okay, they got to do 85 Villanova against Georgetown, but they got to do it from three. And in the first half, they did, Bob. They were 8 of 11,
yeah,
and they were still down four. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, I felt pretty good when they were down by four and they had made 73% of their three-point shots. I thought, well, that's pretty good.
Yep.
We'll be all right.
And I felt the exact opposite with that with Bama Futures. I knew exactly the writing was on the wall. Okay, tonight, national championship. UConn favored by 7 now against Purdue. Where do your numbers fall on this?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting game because if you look at KenPom or Torvik or any other rating system that uses every game for the entire season, it's going to come out around 3. And if I use every single game equally over the course of the season, I come up with 2.5. So it's not, I mean, and people are like, wow, well, the line 6.5, line 7, like this doesn't make sense. I go, it does make sense. And the fact that Donovan Klingon missed 5 games, and then he came off the bench for another 2 when he came back from injury. And Stephon Castle, who's been fantastic, he missed 6 games and also didn't start early in the season. You know, they had Ball was starting early in the season, and he's been terrible. He's the worst guy in the rotation, actually. So if you only look at the games, also Connecticut played relatively better against better teams, which is part of my tournament ratings. So if you only look at the games when Klingon and Castle both played, they're 26-2 straight up, and 26-2 straight up, and 22-6 against the spread when Klingon and Castle are both playing. And if you only look at that set of games against quality teams, like throwing out all the below average teams on the schedule, and only look at Purdue's games against quality teams, then I get a fair line of 7.2 points. I mean, it's a huge difference. Plus, the Huskies have the statistical characteristics of a team that historically would outperform in the tournament. And that's been part of, me backing them a lot in this tournament. That's worth another, half a point or so. So I think the fair line should be 7.5. If you use tournament games only, I would come up with UConn by 8. So I think 7.5 is the fair line. I don't think there's enough value to bet it. But, Connecticut just beat the number 4 seeded team by 14 points. And we mentioned made 48% of their threes. The game before that, the Huskies only made 3 of 17 of their own three-point shots and beat Illinois by 25 points. I mean, they are crushing teams even with negative three-point variance. And plus, they got Klingon, who's one guy who can challenge Zach Edey. So when Klingon's out, he doesn't play a lot of minutes necessarily. He'll play 25 minutes or so. When he's out, then Edey, he'll have to do his damage then. But I think overall, just Connecticut's just a better team in every single way except for Zach Edey when Klingon's out. So I do think 7.5 is probably the fair line. I'm not betting the game, but if I had to bet it, I'd rather have Connecticut.
Where does this Connecticut team, not to put you on the spot here, Bob, Dr. Bob coming to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, but if your historical numbers, does this UConn team rank highly when comparing it to history's greatest teams?
Yeah, it does. And, there's a couple things going on there. If you look at how much better they are than an average team, first of all, this season, and I mentioned it, I probably mentioned it before on the show, there's more variance between the average team and the good teams or bad teams this season than in any other season ever. And that's because all the star players from mid-majors are getting poached. And so mid-major schools are getting worse every year, and the major conference teams are getting better every year. And this year it really showed up where the variance between the good and the bad teams is bigger than it's ever been. So just from that standpoint, the better teams are going to be a lot better than average, more than a normal season. But this team, there was a Baylor team, 5-6 years ago that was really good. Kentucky, when they were undefeated on the year, but they didn't win. I don't think Baylor or Kentucky, neither team won, but going into the tournament, those were like dominant teams.
Interesting.
That Kentucky team, I forgot who they lost to, maybe Wisconsin. But they, the dominant teams, I was looking back at the most dominant teams heading into the tournament in recent years, in the last 10 or 12 years, neither one won the tournament. So that does not bode well for Connecticut necessarily, but they're up there. I mean, this team at full strength is really, really amazing.
Yeah, I'd like, this is my Dr. Bob homework assignment, because I do this with Aaron Schatz. Aaron Schatz goes all the way back play by play to like 1981, and he can tell you like the best teams he has rated over time. I'd be curious what your top college basketball teams were over time. That'd be an interesting.
I'd have to look it up. Yeah, but this team is there's just no weakness.
Yeah. No, clearly.
That's the thing. There's no weakness.
All right.
They're really great.
Last minute, I'll just ask this for those who have Purdue futures, for those who are betting Purdue against the number tonight. What's the path for Purdue to win this outright tonight? What will have to happen?
Well, it's similar. I mean, they're a great 3-point shooting team, and they've got them, but they don't shoot threes in volume, but. You know, here's the thing. When Klingon's in the game, they don't necessarily need to double Zach Edey. And a lot of those open threes come from him being doubled. So when Klingon's out of the game, they have got to either attack down low or if they double team Edey in the post, they've got to make those 3-point shots. Connecticut has had some bad 3-point shooting games in the tournament. In fact, I think they're only shooting 31% from 3-point range in the tournament. They've really struggled from beyond the arc in the tournament. So they need to shoot poorly from three. And Purdue needs to make the threes and make more of them. They need to be a higher volume shooting 3-point team to have a chance, I think.
All right. The great Dr. Bob Stoll, drbobsports.com and drbobsports on Twitter. Bob, we may not talk to you again until football, before the football season, but I'm sure I'll talk to you in person before that. Appreciate all the time.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to come out and visit you, Gil.
Yes, sir. A little Dr. Bob appearance in the desert. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Dr. Bob Stoll. Oh, he's quick to leave there. It's like the Fortinbaugh dial tone.
He's throwing a party now.
Remember how quickly Fortinbaugh was like dial tone.
Like the three-man weavers. They're like, no more A&G.
Some Masters on the other side with Kelly next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready to tee off with a special Masters edition of VSiN's Long Shots.
Yeah!
Tomorrow, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. for you, Kelly, here in the desert. Join VSiN experts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin as they break down the field, analyze the best bets, and uncover hidden long shots like the 50-1 Stephen Yeager ticket that Wes cashed on the Houston Open, like the Akshay Bhatia ticket that Matt Brown cashed yesterday. From the favorites to the dark horses, we'll give you the inside scoop on every player and their odds of taking home the green jacket. Whether you're a seasoned golf bettor or just getting into the game, our expert panel will provide insights and strategies to help you make informed betting decisions. Tune in to Long Shots tomorrow, 11 p.m., to gain a competitive edge and maximize your winnings during this iconic golf tournament. Don't miss out on this exclusive Masters coverage at VSiN.com/Masters. VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's 65-1. Yeah, I don't know.
65-1. That's what I said earlier, yeah. I used to love when Hootie Johnson used to call it the tournament. It was like Foghorn Leghorn.
The tournament.
We don't do that kind of thing down here. We had tweets at Beating the Book. This is from 3Jack, H3131. Gil, any books offering over-under on time and total darkness? Over-under on how many people claim to go blind staring at the sun? Over-under on how many times you played Total Eclipse of the Heart in your slow jam days? Total Eclipse of the Heart, the total is 0.5 times, and I would heavily esteem the under.
Okay, all right. Would you like some tips and tricks for viewing the eclipse from NASA? Sure. I was looking this up.
From NASA. By the way, can I just give a suggestion? Felica got me on this last night, and so I started to watch it when it re-aired. CNN is airing this Space Shuttle 4-part docuseries about Columbia, not Challenger in 86 exploding, but Columbia in 2001 on its re-entry into the Earth's orbit, having a catastrophic situation. It's fascinating. Wow. The whole thing is fascinating. Yeah.
That stuff is fascinating. Anyway. It blows my mind though, that this stuff, like we haven't upgraded like the eclipse viewing technology at all. Like
That's
is still everything that you learned in school.
Yeah.
Apparently us as adults, if you wanted to like view it today, we should all go to like a second grader's classroom this morning and then prepare to view it.
By the way, can I just tell you this? When I was in school and then we had a.
Because it's like the circular dot, you know, holes in it and whatever.
But I remember them distributing the glasses and we all like stared up in the sky and everybody like claimed to see it. And I was like, I didn't see anything. And I felt like totally shortchanged. So, I was like, I didn't see anything.
So there's a diagram on this NASA website I'm looking at of like the, so you could view it like behind you, right? Like there's some setup where you can like look into something that's a reflection.
I like that, like, you turned your body.
Like, yeah. You're like, wait, what? Like, what? So, okay. So view the sun through eclipse glasses or a handheld solar viewer during the partial eclipse phase, okay? Now, theoretically, when it is a total eclipse, which it will be at certain places in the country, you could look right at it. But it's whenever there's any sun that's peeping through,
right?
That's when it's going to get you.
Not recommended. That's
what it's going to get you. How about this line on the NASA website?
That's what it's going to get you.
That's what it's going to get you. Okay. Viewing any part of the bright sun through a camera lens, binoculars, or a telescope without a special purpose solar filter secured over the front will instantly cause severe eye injury. Instantly.
Say that again. Which part will cause instant eye injury?
Which part?
The last part.
If you view it through camera lens, binocular, tells you instantly. I know you just wanted me to say that again.
You get so excited. Michael Burns. I have 5 futures with UConn. Scheffler, Fitzpatrick, Koepka, Matsuyama, and Wyndham Clark. Let's go Huskies.
I like it.
John Balducci. Eclipse events planned years in advance. Hundreds of thousands traveling here from out of town to see totality. Parties, t-shirts, all the hoopla. And it's cloudy. Welcome to upstate New York.
That's great.
That is the other eclipse killer.
Oh, man.
Now it's fully cloudy.
Can we talk a couple NBA player prop things real quick?
Oh, yes. We must discuss this.
I want to talk about the Josh Hart one. First of all, props, because I just had to check on this. And I had this ridiculous same game parlay that got home last night in that Lakers-Timberwolves game. Dustin Sweetelson, great NBA player prop bettor, has been all over this D'Angelo Russell over assist prop, basically in games where LeBron doesn't play in. I don't even know what he's averaging, but he had 11 assists, I think, in the game last night. So just a tip of the cap to him, because he was all over that yesterday while we were on Live Bet Sunday. And so this Josh Hart story, I was texting you about it. This kind of happened over the weekend. Maybe some people picked up on this. The NBA betting circles that I'm definitely involved in, this started to circulate on Friday. So they had a game on Thursday, and Josh Hart's been dealing with this wrist injury. Somehow, I guess a lot of people in books and media didn't really pick up on some post-game quotes he had from Thursday's game that were quite interesting, where he basically said his wrist was injured enough that he could not even shoot the ball from three-point range. He just didn't have the power in the wrist to shoot from that distance. So all these started to circulate like Friday afternoon. A lot of us bet the unders on his three-point prop Friday night. Didn't even really matter. We don't even really know because the dude got ejected in the first quarter.
4 minutes
in. Yeah, exactly. So it was like the perfect outcome for that type of bet. Now, yesterday, he's playing in the game. I'm looking at these props. Okay, the books caught on from Friday.
They lowered it.
Yeah, they juiced it to like -350 on the under. Now, I did throw it in a parlay still. I'm like, the dude says he can't shoot. I'm still going to throw it in there. The quote from last night, and I think we have a tweet on this. Apparently, he had to launch a half-court heave at the end of the first half where he then believes his dislocated wrist or whatever got back into place and was then fine shooting going forward in the second half, hit a three-pointer. So anybody that had unders on the threes got burned.
Which makes no sense whatsoever.
Not at all. Not at all.
Although I guess if it's like the recoil of it, I guess, was so strong that it latched back in.
I guess.
This is like between Josh Hart and Akshay Bhatia dislocating his shoulder, pumping up himself after that tournament saving putt.
Right, same
at 18
thing. Yeah, you're not sitting there thinking that he's going to go on and win the thing at that point.
We had a kid in high school. I swear to God, this is true. We're in the locker room. He's trying to take off his shirt or put on his shirt, and he dislocated both shoulders while the shirt was over his head.
Oh my God.
So I don't want to say his name, but it was just like one of the great moments in locker room history.
That is incredible. Yeah, this was so. Yeah, Josh Hart postgame. When he took the half court heave to end the second quarter, he felt his wrist click, and it almost clicked back into place. Said he went to Brunson at a half and told him, quote, "I can shoot threes now."
But you didn't know this till after the game.
I didn't know this till after the game.
This is basically the plot from Rookie of
the Year, which has somehow been brought up on this show now, like 3 shows in a row, this movie, Rookie of the Year.
Well, this is what I couldn't. This is why I kept texting you yesterday about the Batia thing. I was like, bro, he just dislocated his shoulder celebrating and may not win this tournament.
It's crazy.
And then McCarthy went in the creek, and that was that.
Yeah, and that was that.
Okay, so repeat your three Masters futures. You have Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Thomas, and?
And Zalatoris. Zalatoris, all of them, I believe, are in the 30s. Yeah, all around the same range.
What are you, how many are you likely to have by?
I mean, outrights in the Masters, I always have more than what I would in a typical tournament because you're adding guys along the way, right? So yeah. There's, like
I'm saying, pre-flop, how many do you think you'll have?
Probably 5-6, I would guess. 7, maybe.
Oh, I have an NBA thought exercise. Just came into my head. So Will Hill, Felika, and I are on a thread together. This thought exercise came on. And I think Will was the one who brought it up. And then I made the line. And he thinks my line is bad. And so he went under. So the question is, given how the Eastern Conference playoff, how the Eastern Conference is shaking out with playoff teams and how poorly a lot of these teams are playing headed into the postseason in the Eastern Conference, what would a, and this is a great, like a bookmaker, some book should make this prop. What is the Celtics' total number of losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs? So not the finals, but in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now keep in mind, if they get eliminated, right? You know, there's a weird possibility there too. But generally you're thinking if they would have to have four losses right off the bat if they got eliminated. But if the Celtics are that much better than the competition, and I said the number should be, you ready for this? I said the number should be 5.5, to which Will said, oh, under. He immediately said under. I'm like, I'm not moving the number, because if you make the number 4.5, everybody would bet the over.
Yes.
So I think it's 5.5. Because again,
I actually think your number's pretty good.
I do too. I think it's a great number.
I actually think your number's pretty good.
Because even if you go 1-2-2, that's barely a tick to the under, right? But any slight wavering from that, it's toast.
Yeah.
So it's, I get it. They're good, and the other teams are playing poorly. But you can't go any lower than 5.5.
No, you can't. It's really interesting. I'm just like thinking about this.
Yeah.
I would still bet over, if anything, over.
I think you have to, right?
Only like the Celtics are so good. They're having one of the best regular seasons in NBA history. But in the playoffs, it's going to become even more and more about Tatum and Brown. And I think there will be a game or two every series where we go, Tatum, Brown, what are you doing, man?
Will said under. I said, I do not respect your money. I am not moving my number. 5.5. I'm curious what people would think about that, though. Someone should put props up like that.
You would have a lot of people that I respect betting the under for sure. I'm just not in that camp.
But I think we'd have both. I think we'd have equal action. Mike Somich from The Handle joined us. He's got golf bets. He's got college hoops bets. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up. Say again?
Splitting bets.
Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. We don't really have a rhythm with this.
We don't. Yeah.
The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter baseball bets today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game, Jesse Welch. Guys, I'm out in New Hampshire, and I'm about an hour away from the 100% eclipse viewing spot, or whatever it's called, and our state's chaos. I want this thing over now, please.
Yeah, it would drive me nuts.
James Sod also chimes in again, which goes, NASA is not wrong about don't use your camera without a filter. I took pics with my phone in 2017. I had a permanent shadow on my phone camera. Head slap emoji.
I thought that was going way worse.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed here. By the way, Cleveland, actually, Eastern time, not Central. Yes, correct. I made a mistake about time zone for Cleveland. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This gentleman joins us. He's the co-host of The Handle. Which is 12 noon Saturday and Sunday here at the network. He does it with Matt Brown, and he's here to talk. He's got bets in college hoops. He's got bets in hockey. He's got bets in baseball. But he overheard the hypothetical prop we were just talking about. And so we want to chime in on this first. And we might have a bet here. Mike Somich joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Samo bombing. How you doing, Mike? What's happening, man?
Doing well. Good morning, guys. Yeah, look. So in my head, I thought you were going to say the number was going to be 4.5. In my head, I'm like 3.5. I'm then kind of caught up in which way to go. The Eastern Conference stinks. They stink. And all the teams in the middle have injuries. I would happily take under 5.5 for a dinner, Gil, if you want to go at it.
Under 5.5 for a dinner. Okay. Well, I'm just the man making the line. I'm not the one with the position, but you go, you're that confident about the under. Let's do a dinner. Under 5.5 on that. And again, we tried to script it through over the break. Yeah. And immediately you went Hawks. And I'm like, no. There's none of these 9-10 teams. Let's say they get the Heat in the first round. All right. They're already in their head. The sphincter's already tight. They're going to take two off them right there off the top. Okay. I don't care what you say about the Heat. Playoffs Heat is a different animal. Then what if it's the New York Knickerbockers? That's two more. Then you don't
see.
Samich doesn't think so.
I think they sweep the Knicks. I think they sweep the Cavs. Wow. The middle of the East is awful. I think the one way that this could go positively for you is if somehow it's the Sixers that end up as the seventh seed. They beat the Bucks in the first round. Then you end up with the Celtics Sixers like that. That one scares me a little bit. But I'm not scared of the Heat this year. I think that's one or two at most. They sweep the second round, and then you've got some cushion going into that third round. I'm going to be playing the Celtics minus a game and a half first round, minus a game and a half or 2.5 second round, probably minus a game and a half third round. Okay. I think they blow through the East this year.
Okay. I know that you lean on some remarkable Celtics playoff history in recent years. Oh, wait, that did not happen. You think the Knicks take two off them?
Well, I think this is, it's not even, this isn't a conversation about the Boston Celtics. It's a conversation about like what the health's going to be with every other one of these teams in the Eastern Conference.
I think it's a conversation about both. I do. I think you're right. It's primarily but I think it's also
kind of like Mike brought up though. You're telling me if we're looking at an Eastern Conference Finals, and he used Philadelphia, I'll throw Milwaukee in there as well. I think either one of those. If Milwaukee gets that far, that means they put some things together and they still got the two best basketball players on the court. I think they take a couple games.
Bro, let me just say this about Milwaukee in case people have not been staring at the NBA standings. They have a one-game lead now over those pursuing them for the number two position. If Milwaukee does not get right quick here, and they got tough games here down the stretch, four games against teams that care. Orlando, by the way, is now the number three seed. The Bucks could fall out of this like a ways down to like five almost. So, by the way, I'm glad that Doc Rivers thing went well for them. No one could see that coming. All right, you're on, Mike. Dinner, under 5.5 you take on a Celtics total losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Okay. Let us begin with the national championship game. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but UConn is playing Purdue tonight.
Didn't know that.
6:20 Pacific, 9:20 Eastern. Good God. 6.5, 7 is really the consensus right now, though we're showing 6.5. Did you make a play here? What do you like?
Yeah, I laid the 5.5. I talked about this on the handle on Saturday. Before the other two games even tipped, I laid the 5.5 with UConn for a couple reasons. First off, I made the 7. So I was off that look-ahead number right out of the gate. On top of that, I expected that UConn was going to be able to cover against Bama, which meant I saw no way this goes down. So I thought that with the sharp money would come in at 5.5. On top of that, who wants to get in front of this freight train as a public bettor? You're going to get all the public money coming in on UConn as well. So we've seen this number move to 6.5, 7. I wouldn't be surprised if we tip off at 7.5. I don't think we'll get to 8. I think you'll get buyback before then. But in my mind, the 5.5 was the time to get in here. I've got some exposure to UConn moneyline. I played South Carolina UConn moneyline parlay as well. So looking forward to that. The one bet that's still available that I think is playable is the under here at 145. Both of these teams want to play inside-out games. Both of them play at a slower pace, a lot of set plays, which slows the game down as well. UConn, 303rd in the nation in possessions per game. And I don't think that you're going to see the UConn double and triple Edie, which means that you're going to have a lot more Edie possessions on the inside. You're not going to have as many open threes for Purdue either. I think this is going to be a game that ends up going under the total of 145. I played 146. I played a little at 145.5. I would still play it here at 145. Wouldn't go too much lower than that, but I do think this is more of an under trend in this game.
Mike, I don't mean to be a smarty pants here, but where was the 5.5 available?
5.5 was available on DraftKings before either game tipped off. It also opened at 5.5 right after the UConn and Purdue games finished as well. So it was available Saturday night, and it was available on DraftKings at look ahead. So DraftKings did a great job. They put all four matchups up before the semifinals tipped off, and you could bet all of them at that point. So I talked about it on the handle. Look, I want exposure to UConn 5.5 as soon as possible. So I took it before either of the semifinal games tipped.
Okay. Glad I asked, because I know there's some people listening here be like, 5.5? Well, I didn't see that.
That's why you got to take advantage of it. Sometimes those numbers are out there, and you got to get in early to be able to make sure you get the best of it.
All right. Only a couple games in the NHL. As we mentioned earlier, NBA clears out for the National Championship of College Basketball. Full day of baseball. And NHL has two games, and you have a thought on one of them.
I do. This is an interesting NHL slate. You've got teams that are kind of locked into their position that are playing against teams that need the points badly. And I'm going to look toward this Toronto-Pittsburgh game. The Penguins have been a team that I was fading a couple weeks ago, but they have played very well over the last week and a half, won five straight. They're now in the playoff hunt. There's five teams that are competing for the final three spots there in the East. Pittsburgh is one of them. Right now you can catch them at plus 136 against Toronto. Toronto doesn't really need this game. They're kind of locked into that 2-3 matchup inside their own division. I think you're going to see a very motivated Pittsburgh team who needs every point they can get against a Toronto team that, look, they're just waiting for the playoffs at this point. So we'll take the dog here, plus 136 on the Penguins.
All right, let's move to golf. The Masters this week is a tradition unlike any other. You have a couple, or actually a few, bets in pocket here.
I do. I took Koepka at 18-1 over the weekend. I'm looking for guys who traditionally do well at the Masters. See, this is a really unique tournament just because it's played at the same site every year, and it's the only major that you get to see that. So the course doesn't change a ton, and Koepka's one of those guys where he has played very well at this course. He was injured for 2 years, but if you take those out, he's got multiple T2s. He's got a T7. He won a major last year. I was surprised he was sitting there at 18-1. The fact that, you know, Scotty's up there at 4-1 really gives you some value on some other players if you are looking for ways to get around him. I also love the top fives in this spot. You're getting big time plus money because of the Scotty price in the top five. So I took Koepka at plus top five. You can get him at plus 360. I also took some Zalatoris top five. I believe that was 7-1 over on DraftKings right now. So you're able to get some nice plus or top five prices at plus money with guys who have played well in this tournament before. So looking right now, it's just Koepka the outright, but I do have some Zalatoris and Koepka top fives.
Yeah, this is again, and Mike alluded to this, but for those who are casual golf bettors, Augusta is the most predictive of all these courses from year to year. Success previously matters. The opposite of that, the Players Championship being one of the least predictive from year to year in terms of golf tournaments that are being played on the same course. That has everything to do with so much water there at Sawgrass. How many bets do you anticipate? Do you think you'll add before the tournament starts to this, Mike?
I may add one or two others. I want to read some more content. Not a huge golf bettor. It's nice to be paired up with Matt Brown. I'm able to get some of his expertise on it. So I'll probably add one or two. I wanted to add some Dustin Johnson at 35-1. Matt talked me off that ledge, so not going to add some DJ at 35-1. But I'll probably have a couple other outrights that I'll sprinkle in there. Thinking about Matsuyama, thinking about Neiman, who are both sitting there 22 and 25-1 respectively. I just want to sweat on Sunday. That's really all I'm looking for, Gil. I want to be able to watch this and be excited about it. Going to be in studio this weekend in Vegas as well. It's going to be a blast being able to watch the Masters from there. I love this tournament. Like,
it's
for me, golf betting is all about the Sunday sweat, and I want to make sure I got something live going in there. So I'll probably end up with 3 or 4 outrights, but I'll have more money bet on top 5, top 10, because I think those markets are a little easier to attack, and you still get some nice plus money prices.
Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Don't call me. I'll call you. Like, I just want to be left alone watching golf. Tiger's playing, by the way. Trying to make the cut.
We'll see how long.
He's just trying to make a cut. That's his goal here. By the way, just bet the Celtics -130 to win the East. If you're, that into the Celtics, I would say. But Mike and I have a dinner bet on it. 5.5. That's the line. More with Samich. Baseball plays next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. MTW24Golfer, he says, how is the Purdue team total under 69? Not a great bet. Alabama only reached 72, shooting lights out, and Purdue only scored 62 on NC State. The Auburnist. Haven't checked my calendar, but it would be great to have an eclipse in Vegas at the same time as the F1 race, it sounds like. Mike Rouse, will your sushi place be involved in the Samo Bomb wager? Oh, he didn't ask for the sushi place. That was a big error on Mike Samich's part. Samo Bomb coming right.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you lose any dinner bet, though, you should have to take the person there.
I don't think so. I disagree. Joe Shad, UConn and Purdue tip off at 9:20 p.m. Eastern Monday night, as we've talked about. He goes, this is later than the college football playoff championship game, the NBA finals, the NHL finals, World Series, and Super Bowl. Why does it start at 9:20 p.m. Eastern Monday night? People are frustrated.
I mean, to be fair, it does run way shorter, though, than a college football national championship.
That it do. That it do.
I don't know why I'm defending the start time.
I don't know why you are either. Scott Gordon, I love this. Bucks are so bad right now that had you put $100 money line against the Bucks starting last Tuesday with their current 4-game losing streak on a rollover, that $100 turns into $102,000. Can you check on the math on that, Kelly? I don't think that's correct. And then Buddhist Man, who's always like consistently funny, he had this tweet where he says, we have to refer to Glendock Rivers as Glendejo Rios from now on until they do anything, until the Bucks do anything. Mike Samich, co-host of The Handle, kind enough to join us for a second segment. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at SamoBomb18. SamoBomb.
I love it.
Every time that happens, you got to go SamoBomb.
We should do the sushi place, and if I lose, I'll take you to Golden Steer. I haven't been to Golden Steer in a while. I need to get back there as well.
Mike, there is no Golden Steer for sushi place trade. I'm sorry. Now,
oh, come on.
Now you've lost your mind. Okay.
But what level do we need to get to sushi place trade off here?
I don't know. I'll have to do some thinking, but it ain't the Golden Steer, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, okay. All right. By the way, here's what we'll figure out.
We talked about this off air. I will concede on the 5.5 that the under will have heavy juice just based on the fact that the Celtics regular season record is such that, again, if they win out, it's tied for the 15th best record of all time.
Yes.
That just based on those number of losses, right, which is what, 16 total losses thus far with 4 games left? That to get to 6 losses in the postseason has to be the underdog, right? So the under would be juiced. I would agree with you that. But I don't think you can move that number. I don't think you can move it to 4.5. I don't. 5, maybe. But 4.5, I don't think you can.
It'll be interesting, Gil. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to just sweep through the first 2 rounds. We can have a little fun here.
I'm glad you guys got a side bet going. Yeah. I actually wouldn't want any part of this number. I actually think you set a pretty good number.
A good number.
Yeah. I would not bet it.
Yeah. I like your number better. I can hear Chrissy saying it in my ear right now. All right. Major League Baseball. Full day of Major League Baseball. And again, I just want to say this for folks who bet all kinds of things. There is a beauty about having baseball bets where, because it lives with you every day, you end up, and I'm talking about my March, April, Cleveland Guardians most wins bet. Every day, the single most important to me betting, and I don't have any tennis bets today in Monte Carlo, so that's off the table, but the single most important bet to me, no matter what else I'm betting, is this Guardians bet, because I am not only rooting for them every day, but I am actively rooting against all the teams that I'm competing with right now, Pirates, Yankees, and Dodgers being the three foremost teams in that category. But this applies to Cy Young, right? It applies to everything where you can live with it all the time. You have thoughts on a trio of games today. Let's start with the Mariners and the Blue Jays. Where do you land here?
Yeah, Mariners, Blue Jays here. I'm going the under in the first 5. You get under 4 first 5. These are two offenses that really haven't gotten it going. Bichette and Guerrero both really struggling for the Blue Jays. Seattle not exactly hammering the baseball right now. And I like the pitching matchup here. You got Berrios on the hill for Toronto, Castillo on the hill for Seattle. I think both of these pitchers able to control these lineups, especially early. We talked about first 5 bets last week. I'm a big first 5 bettor. I want the least number of variables possible in baseball. I'm handicapping the starting pitchers, so I want to handicap the innings that they're actually going to be pitching here. So we'll go under first 5 Seattle, Toronto. That's sitting at 4 right now, Gil. So we'll take the under there.
All right. We don't have under 4 on the screen, but that's what he's betting there. Seattle, Toronto, first 5 under 4, given the starting pitching matchup. Tampa Bay Rays, who have been somewhat disappointing for some folks who liked him, but it's still way early. Tampa Bay Rays going to Anaheim, take on the Angels. That is a night game. Rays are favored by -145. What is your angle here?
I like the Rays. And again, I like the pitching matchup here. Anderson on the mound for the Angels. He pitched well in his first start, taking on Eflin, who's 1-1 on the season. I like Eflin more than I like Anderson. I think he's able to shut down a much weaker A's lineup here. You're right. The Rays have not started out hot. They're 5-5 right now, but they are a team that I believe in long term. I think the offense gets it going. I'm looking to fade this Angels team. I'm surprised they're 5-4 right now. I'm going to try and take advantage of what I think is a little inflated number on them. We'll go Rays first five, lay the half run. You get that -105 right now. So we'll take a little Rays action here in the late game. We got one other first five for you as well here. In this one, I want to find ways to play against the Rockies. This pitching staff is absolutely atrocious. Tonight you've got Freeland on the mound, and you've got a team in the Diamondbacks, so I think you're going to be able to hit the baseball consistently all year. I wanted to find a way to play the team totals, but the team total for the Diamondbacks in this spot is 6.5. That's a little bit high for me. So I played the Diamondbacks first five. Again, laid that half run. You can get the -120 right now on DraftKings. So like the Diamondbacks, like the Rays here, first five minus the half runs.
All right, let's do another. Let's see if Samich and I can come up with another bet here. Rockies, Athletics, White Sox. Bad, bad, and bad. If I said all three teams under 55 games each, what odds would you give me on that? Under 55 wins.
The question is who can get over it. I think the Rockies are atrocious. I don't think they get over 55. This A's team is pretty bad as well, and there's no real help on the pitching side. The division is not very easy to. It would be the White Sox would be the one that I'd be worried about getting over 55 here. I would probably say it's. Any of them get hot. So I would probably say plus or -120 to the over, plus or even money to the under on one of the three getting over 55.
I think I'd want a little more on the under there, but okay. We're throwing it against the wall, see if we can find a bet there.
55 is a good number, Gil.
Yeah,
it's a good number.
It's 55. We always say this about baseball, right? Like even with the, you know, ever increasing chasm between the haves and the have nots, you have some baseball teams. My God, are they bad. And I actually think the Rockies are the worst. I agree with you. Like I think they're, in terms of roster construction, as bad as the A's are, the Rockies are just an abomination. And I can't imagine, like, if you play for that team, by mid-June, it's over. Like, it's you got three-plus months of just, okay, well, guess we're going to the ballpark today. But, man, usually we say no matter how bad teams are, they figure out a way to get to 60, right? Like, that's how it always has been. But I do think that that number has had to tick down here. And 55 might not be enough of a tick down. You know, like they're so bad. And it is interesting how often, I there's no way to know this, but I'm curious how quickly bettors, if they already haven't, if they already hadn't already, we're not even in mid-April. And I wonder how many money line parlays against these teams already exist out there, just as an auto bet. Now, the A's actually came to play this weekend. So, you know, people would have gotten torpedoed by that, and I don't recommend it. But I mean, would you agree with that we are getting to the point now where that 60, that old adage of, well, teams figure out a way to get to 60, very quickly is dropping to a point where it might even be 50 here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with that. We've seen the best teams, it feels like we're getting more top heavy and the worst teams are just getting worse and worse. We saw the Royals last year win 56. The A's won 50 last year. The Rockies got to 59. This is a worse version of the Rockies, and they got to 59 last year. So I would be surprised if they were able to get to that 60 number. I think the A's are frisky this year. They have at least some talent on the offensive side. They've got Sears as a decent pitcher. He's someone I like to bet on when he's pitching on the mound for the A's. The White Sox and the Rockies are absolutely atrocious. I've been looking around to see what I can get for Rockies' worst record. They're in a stacked division, and their starters 1-5 are basically a triple A starting rotation. I mean, they're going to get pounded every time they play division foes, and they're in cores too, and they can't take advantage of it from an offensive perspective. This isn't even like a frisky Rockies offense. They are a very, very bad baseball team.
Yeah. All right. You had a lot of bets. Let's review them. So Mike did have UConn, but he got him at a number that doesn't exist anymore at 5.5. He still likes the under though. Golf, Masters, Koepka 18-1 outright, top five plus 360, likes Zalatoris, top five as well. Nice number plus 650, likes the Penguins tonight in hockey, and then the three baseball bets. The Rays, -0.5 a run, first five. D-backs, first five minus a half against the Rockies, and then Seattle, Toronto, the first five under four. Samobomb 18, co-host of The Handle, weekends here at 12 noon with our buddy Matt Brown. Thank you, Mike. Great talking to you.
Good to talk to you guys. Can't wait for my dinner, Gil.
We shall see, sir. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy.